Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bracket season. It's NFL offseason. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain joins the show right now. We're about to present you guys. All the people driving around the great city of Houston are sitting at your desk. All the loopholes, thank you very much for being with us. We're going to present you with some OG dialogue. John McClain has been covering sports in this town for, we'll just say, between 40 and 60 years. The OG John Lopez has been covering for 30 years. He has a bracket in the spirit of bracket season. The best quarterbacks to ever play in the city of Houston. This is not just the Texans. This is the best quarterbacks. Before we get to it, I got to ask you, I know we're including the Oilers. Are we including U of H?
No.
Okay,
no,
so no Andre Ware.
Professional quarterbacks.
Okay, so stand back, Cougs fans. I know you like to get a little snappy.
Professional QBs.
I've got a bracket of 16, John McClain.
Boy, you must have done some serious research.
I did.
To come up with 16.
I did. 14 of these I got to see, I got to watch play. Two, I did not. So I'm going to do just like CBS. By the way, shout out to CBS for getting right to the bracket this year rather than hemming and hawing for 2 hours. So I'm going to do the exact same thing. We're going to play this out with John McClain's influence and, of course, Landry Locker imparting his wisdom as well. The number one overall seed in the West region is Warren Moon. His first round opponent, the number 16 seed in the entire tournament, and first round opponent is Brian Hoyer.
So I need to pick the winner?
Pick the winner with our influence as well.
Boy.
And I will start filling out the bracket. Moon against
Can
Hoyer.
Can I make a case for the underdog?
Go ahead.
I guess I have to go with Moon.
Hoyer's got more Super Bowl rings, though.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay.
John, you don't respect Super Bowl rings?
We go to the East region. The number two overall seed in the tournament, Jim Kelly, versus the number 15
now
seed.
You're getting creative.
Versus the number 15 seed in the tournament, TJ Yates.
Explain to the kids why Jim Kelly's on this bracket, please.
Jim for the Houston Gamblers.
Threw for 5,300 yards and 50 touchdowns for the Houston Gamblers 1 year, was rookie of the year, was MVP of the league. I think the next year threw for just under 5,000 yards.
First team all-pro partier.
And is a Hall of Famer. So Jim Kelly, number two, versus TJ Yates, number 15.
TJ, a new Texans assistant coach, as much as I'd like to have him advance, just nope, sorry.
All right. It's going to chalk. Now, you can pick an upset, Fred.
Is this based on what they did in Houston or what they did in their career?
I am calling it Houston professional quarterback. You can define it how you want. I defined it as what they did here.
Okay, that's good with me.
All right. The number three overall seed, it goes down to the, I guess that would be the Midwest region, Steve McNair, number three overall, against the number 14-seeded Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, first of all, I would never have seeded McNair over because he didn't play for 2 years here hardly at all.
He started the last year.
I would have taken how many starts did he make that second?
I can't remember, but I know he started the last
year. I would have taken Hall of Famer George Blanda, who led two championships, or I would have taken Dan Pastrini.
All right.
Took him to two AFC championship games, but it's your bracket.
All right, no, but you can pick an upset then.
And so I'm not going to pick Ryan Fitzpatrick to beat Steve McNair, even though Fitzy's 1 year here was good for him, so I got to go with McNair.
All right, this is where it gets – okay, I'll put McNair in. This is where it gets interesting. Again, this is my bracket. You can disagree with the committee. We had some disagreement with the committee yesterday.
Yep.
Now I got to do another one tomorrow, don't I?
Yep.
All right, but number four seed overall – I've got Deshaun Watson, number four overall, against the 13th-seeded Don Truel. And he is one of the two that I did not see, but he won two division titles with the mid-60s Oilers.
Well, first of all, Deshaun's played 1.5 seasons, and that doesn't qualify. He's not Pastorini, and he's not George Blanda. And truthfully, he's not Don Truel. I think if Don Truel played today, he would be the starter over Watson.
Where did he go to school?
And Baylor.
Okay.
I'm picking Don Truel to win the entire
thing
because he went to Baylor.
Can I get a sick'em?
Segum Bears. No, but I can't. I'm in all seriousness. I can't pick Trill, of course, over Watson.
All right, we got Deshaun advancing. The number 5 seed overall.
And we're doing the best quarterbacks in the history of Houston professional football with the OG John Lopez and the OG John McClain.
What they did in Houston.
In Houston. By the way, McNair had 13 starts over 2 years in Houston. All right. The number 5 seed overall is probably the greatest quarterback in the history of Houston sports. Dan Pastorini versus the 12th seeded Sage Rosenfeld.
Now, if he's the greatest, why would you put him as a
my personal seed? Opinion. I'm biased.
Well, it's your bracket.
I'm biased. I was
and
trying
why
to be,
are you biased?
Because there's a really good book that was written about Dan Pastorini called really? Taking Flack. Yeah.
I got it signed.
Yeah, you got an autographed copy.
Bruce Matthews said without last asking week for he it. Read that.
How about that? Shout out to Bruce Matthews, one of my all-time favorites.
Taking Flack.
So Pastorini against Rosenfels?
I got to go with Dan.
All right, we'll go with Dan. The 6th seed overall, you heard his name earlier, probably could be an argument that he's higher. George Blanda, 6th seeded overall against the 11th seeded David Carr.
I would have put Blanda number 2 because he's in the Hall of Fame, led the Oilers to 2 championships and put him in a championship game for the 3rd one. And David Carr, George Blanda, Hall of Fame, David Carr, NFL Network. I think I got to go with Blanda.
All right, this is where it gets interesting. We might start to see our first upsets here. The 7th seed overall, the 7-10 matchup is always interesting. The 7th seed is Matt Schaub. The 10th seed, Chris Chandler, former Oilers starting quarterback Chris Chandler. Well,
I'm not picking Chris Dean to do anything to lose to Schaub. Schaub was so much better than Chandler.
Well, he's a 5 seed. I mean, 7 seed. That's why I got him.
So, you know, hike it on Chandler.
Hike it on Chandler. So we'll go with Schaub advances.
Why are we calling him Chris Dean? We're not a fan of him?
Because his nickname was Chris Dean, Crystal Chandelier, because he was hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
8-9 game. This is where it's a good one. And we might see our first upset here. 8th seeded Case Keenum against 9th seeded Ken Stabler.
What? Case Keenum's an 8 seed?
Case Keenum.
Did he start like 2 games?
Case Keenum won some games here, man.
Snake put him in the playoffs
in 1980. He had a really good year. He 1981, he had him at 8-8, and then he was gone to New Orleans. And I saw Case the other day at a restaurant, and he's really fired up about going to Washington, have a chance to start there. And but I can't take Case over a Hall of Fame quarterback who won 11-8, won 19 games here in 2 years.
All right, there's your first
talking
upset.
To NFL Hall of Famer John McClain, who joins us every Tuesday right here on In the Loop. They're going through the all-time greatest quarterbacks in pro football history in the city of Houston in the spirit of March Madness. What restaurant did you see Case at?
I don't want to say because it might be someplace he goes a lot, and I don't want people going in looking for him.
What did he order?
I don't know. He was leaving as I came in.
What'd you order?
I'm not going to tell you because he'd tell you the kind of restaurant I was at.
Let me guess, chicken fried steak.
No.
Let me guess, crazy chicken.
No.
Let me guess, Italian.
No.
All right.
Hamburger.
We're down to the Elite Eight, John. We are down to the Elite Eight.
Well, this is where it gets tough.
In the West region, Warren Moon versus Dan Pastorini.
As much as I love Pastorini, who, by the way, is being honored a Touchdowner of the Year, the biggest award the Touchdown Club of Houston gives every year, Dan is getting it well-deserved right after he was voted into the Houston Sports Hall of Fame. That's on August the 14th. You go on their website and get information. And you want to know how big it is, some of the winners' names have been Unitas, Starr, Campbell, Royal, Bryant, Manning. That has been a big deal. I'm so happy for Pastorini, but he's eliminated.
You got Warren Moon over Pastorini. We go to the East region. Jim Kelly versus George Blanda.
How many years was Kelly here?
2.
2?
Mm-hmm.
Well, George had 3. Kelly had, Kelly.
MVP.
But George led him to championships, and the Gamblers didn't win a championship. I got to go. I'm going to go with Kelly.
Kelly. Almost went with the 2 seed getting ousted.
As much as I love Blanda, and he is in the Hall of Fame, and win the only 2 championships we've ever had for a Houston pro football team, I don't think the World Football League
The USFL?
Team here won the,
oh, the no, World Football the League. Yeah, the
World Football League won a championship. But I'll go with Kelly.
Down to the Midwest, Matt Schaub versus Steve McNair.
McNair. Mm-hmm. Even though Matt did a whole lot more for the Texans than Steve did for the Oilers.
Yeah, he did. We go to I guess that would be the South. Ken Stabler versus Deshaun Watson.
Watson won 11 and how many games? 3, 14 wins. Snake had 11 and 8, 19. I'm going Watson.
Oh, Deshaun with a little bit of an upset there. Oh, no, it wasn't. He was a 4 seed. All right, we're down to the final four. Warren Moon versus Steve McNair.
Moon.
All right. Jim Kelly versus Deshaun Watson.
Kelly.
All right. And your champion, the greatest quarterback. The top two are Warren Moon and Jim Kelly. We've learned something today.
That's so not a bad top two.
Yeah.
And Kelly was here for 2 years. Moon was here for 10. And both are in the Hall of Fame. But I got to go with Warren Moon, the greatest quarterback in Oilers history.
So what this exercise has taught us is that the four greatest quarterbacks in Houston sports history are Warren Moon, Jim Kelly, Steve McNair, and already Deshaun Watson.
I think Case Keenum being the eighth is what I learned from this whole exercise. I already knew most of that.
Keenum had 17 starts. Let's see. What else do I have here?
17 starts.
That's what it says. 17. 17. Oh, 17 games. 11 starts. All right.
Well, it was hard not to pick Don Trull to win everything.
Yeah, it was. All right. Warren Moon versus Jim Kelly.
We already
you
did.
Just said Moon. Warren Moon.
Warren Moon.
You're right there?
Warren Moon. Is
Warren Moon, the greatest quarterback Houston has ever had.
Jim Kelly, the second greatest. That's interesting.
Nah, it's Deshaun. I don't care what you guys say. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Hall of Famer John McClain here with the Houston Texans. Texans signed Darren Fells yesterday. Jordan Mills of the Buffalo Bills, the offensive tackles in town. They've been linked to Donald Penn. What is next for Brian Gain, Mr. McClain? Are they finally going to add some pieces along this offensive line?
Oh, yeah. They'll sign several more players just like they did last year. There's a great story. Albert Breer had yesterday, Peter King, too, about, especially Albert, about all the teams that spend money and 30% play as well or well as they did in over 2 years. It drops down to 20. And John Clayton had a thing about how few of them last past 3 years with their new teams. And so, yeah, I mean, I would ordinarily be very skeptical of bad teams giving up on players like Penn and Jordan Mills. That mm-hmm. would be the Raiders and the Bills. Mills started right tackle the last 3 years. And I was surprised about him. He's not a left tackle. Now, if they're signing him, that means it's not etched in stone that Chantrell Henderson mm-hmm. is going to start at right tackle. Brian Gain told us that the combine, they all anticipated Chantrell Henderson would start at right tackle. I want to see him have competition.
Yeah.
And if you're a veteran left tackle like Donald Penn, who played 4 games last year and wasn't as good the year before that, but you're used to starting in your career, you should be paying the Texans to come play here. There's not a better situation for a veteran left tackle anywhere than right here. It just depends on what they want to spend.
And the left tackle money they're going to get.
And they're still going to draft one, and maybe they'll draft two, but they want competition. And almost anybody they bring in, whether it's Penn or Mills, they're going to be an upgrade over last year at tackle.
How realistic is the whole Penn thing? Because we hear about these guys visiting. I know Aaron reported that there's interest. How strong is that interest?
If they weren't interested, they wouldn't have brought him in. There's a lot of guys they could bring in. And then his agent said he's got 2 or 3 other offers. And agents are always going to say that. Mm-hmm. He's going to be 36 years old. He's been a starter throughout his career. He getting hurt last year and missing 12 starts might actually be good for a guy that's going to be 36 years old because that's less wear and tear on his body. So it's going to be a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, if you come here as a left tackle, and say they got lucky enough to get Andre Dillard or Cody Ford, even though Cody Ford's a right tackle at Oklahoma, he got to be an upgrade at left tackle here if that would be the plan. So anybody coming here has got to know they're going to be here 1 year at the max.
All right, so you think they'll get one of these tackles?
One of these two or somebody else. I mean, the market is really bad at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you got to do it in the draft. But I think they want to put themselves, okay, what if the tackles were gone and the guy they had was next highest was 35th on their board.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a corner there. It was number 15. So knowing how much you need a tackle and a corner, how can you justify taking a tackle when you have the corner rated so much better? They're going to have to get at least one or two more corners. They haven't solved their problems with the guys they've signed. And that's why I think if you sign a veteran tackle, it puts less pressure on you to use that number one in case the corner is higher rated.
Couple points. See, I want to get your reaction. Number one, the Texans already have gotten better in pass protection and protecting Deshaun Watson because of Darren Fells. He's a beast in pass protection.
It's so interesting, isn't it, that he was a basketball player in college.
He played professional basketball,
John.
You would
think that a guy who was a basketball player would be all about catching a ball like mm-hmm. Antonio Gates and not being on the line of scrimmage blocking. But Fells, you know, his brother was which one is this? Darren Daniel?
Yeah.
Was
Brandon.
The tight end. And so I think that would be that's a good move for a blocker. But mm-hmm. somebody's gone. You're not going to carry four. And they love Akins and they love Jordan Thomas. And maybe it's going to just be competition and Ryan Griffin will get it. But Ryan's a receiver, not a blocker. And they're working hard to turn Jordan Thomas into a better blocker. But Fells solves a weakness, which is blocking at tight end.
Yes, and something nobody is talking about very much anyway.
Nobody's talking about that.
He played professional basketball for 4 years. I mean, he hadn't been in the he's 32, but he hadn't been in the NFL that long.
In other words, you don't want to get, you know, how teams used to have basketball teams that travel around.
You don't want
to
play him.
Cowboys would come down here and play the Oilers team. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But you'd certainly want Tells. Can you imagine a pick he could set?
He averaged 9-5 in Argentina, which is a good level of pro basketball. And then the other thing I was going to make is, the point I was going to make is this spells.
Well, that's something nobody's talking about today.
Yeah, he played
the level of basketball in Argentina.
Oh, are you going to disagree with that? Are you seriously going to disagree?
Unless anybody plays basketball.
With a team that has beaten the United States dream team in the Olympics?
They can move. They can shuffle their feet.
Are you? I got to get this out of here. Are you going to say they don't play good basketball in Argentina?
No, I know they do. I'm sure there's different levels of league, though.
No, but he played. He averaged 9-10.
And Ginobili and them. Nocioni.
All right, last point. This spells the end for
Ryan Griffin.
It certainly could. Ryan's a receiver, not a blocker. And if they like, I know they like Jordan Akins, and I know they like Jordan Thomas. And mm-hmm. And most players make their biggest improvement between the first and second year. So you got to think those guys are going to be better than last year. So, yeah, I don't know if they're going to try to trade him. I don't know. If I'm Ryan, I'm going to mm-hmm. go in there and say, hey, you know, if you're going to cut me later, cut me now.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of tight ends out there.
Right.
He'd get a job as a receiving tight end pretty quick.
Good point.
And they save about $3 million if they do make that decision. So stay tuned. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain talking about the future of Ryan Griffin in the addition of Darren Fells for the Houston Texans. Free agency, about a week in full effect. What's next and what should the Texans have done? We're going to get into that with the legend next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.